Hey guys, coming up today on Sports Spectrum, a wonderful conversation with an amazing woman, Chantel Anderson, former Vanderbilt Commodores star. And when I say star, she's in the Vanderbilt Athletics Hall of Fame. Her number 21 is retired by Vanderbilt, and it culminated a career of being the all-time leading scorer at Vanderbilt and a three-time first-team All-SEC into being the second overall pick in the 2003 WNBA draft. And she played pro for many years in the WNBA and overseas, but she's got one heck of a story of coming to faith in Jesus. You're going to love hearing from Chantel Anderson. It's coming up in just a moment. First, I want to tell you about our friends at Compassion International. Go to compassion.com/sportspectrum. And that is the site to look and see a list of children waiting to be released from poverty. That's what Compassion is all about. Releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. And this is a chance for you and I to partner with Compassion and help release these kids from terrible situations. And all you're doing when you sponsor a child is simply giving them a chance at life. You're providing them with food, education, medical care, vocational training, and most of all, a chance to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Go to compassion.com/sportspectrum. Compassion.com/sportspectrum and pray about sponsoring a child today. And we're also presented today by our friends at Operation Christmas Child. They've been reaching millions of children each year with the good news of Jesus Christ simply by using shoebox gifts. Since 1993, 30 years, more than 209 million children in over 170 countries and territories have received a shoebox gift. Anyone can pack a shoebox and help send joy to a child in need with our friends at Operation Christmas Child. You can pack a shoebox with fun toys, school supplies, personal care items, bring it to a drop-off location during the National Collection Week. Now that's coming up November 13th through the 20th, so you still have time. You can even build a shoebox online. We do it with our family. It's a lot of fun. I think you guys will love participating with Operation Christmas Child. And think about this, the good news of Jesus Christ is shared alongside your gift, and each child is invited to join a discipleship program. So learn how to pack a shoebox, view gift suggestions, and find your nearest drop-off location by visiting samaritanspurse.org/OCC. samaritanspurse.org/OCC with Operation Christmas Child. Is Chantel Anderson, former Vanderbilt star, former WNBA player. She wears a lot of hats nowadays, and we're going to talk about all that she's doing here on Sports Spectrum. Hi, Chantel.
Hello. How are you, Jason? Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm doing well. So glad that you're here on the show. I got to start with your Instagram post that you recently had. It was back in June, and we connected through Instagram, so I figured this was apropos for us to start with here. But you said... And I'll just share the first two sentences. You said, find something that changes your life and tell everyone about it. For me, that's a relationship with Jesus. So let's start there. You can tell our audience and everyone listening, including me, about your relationship with Jesus.
Yes, for sure. So it is definitely something that has changed my life. I grew up in church. Going to church on Sundays with my family. I went to Vacation Bible School. I went to youth group on Wednesday nights and Friday nights and all the things, right? But when I was 16 years old, my parents gave me a choice. They said, you are old enough to make your own decision as far as if you want to continue in the faith or not. Hmm. And so we're going to give you that choice. And if you want to, then great. And if you don't, then so be it. And at that point, I chose not to. I chose to stop going to church. And it was because I never really felt like I had a personal relationship with God.
Yeah.
I didn't feel him. I felt like everyone else had this cool relationship with God. And I was like, God, where are you? I don't feel like you're real to me. And so that just began a spiral of just a lot of things in my life. I became an athlete. I ended up being the one of the top players on the West Coast. I was recruited by every major university, and I ended up signing a full ride scholarship to Vanderbilt University to play basketball.
Yeah.
And from there, I lived kind of the stereotypical athlete life, like anything that you have would assume an athlete did who wasn't following God. That's what I did. My life was crazy, and it was fun in a lot of ways, but it was very empty.
Yeah.
I was successful on the court, ended up getting drafted second overall in the WNBA.
Yeah.
But I still was not, I still had the worldly success, but off the court, I was depressed. I was coping with, drugs and alcohol and sex and all of the things, right? And at some point, God got my attention. He got my attention through injuries, as he does so often
Oh,
with
yeah.
us athletes, right?
Yep.
He got my attention through injuries. And so I broke my kneecap.
Hmm.
And it was the most painful thing I have ever been through in my entire life. It was so painful. And from there, I rehabbed. 7.5 long months. And I remember saying a prayer. I said, God, if you get me through this, I'll dedicate my life to you. How many times have we said a prayer like that? If you do this, God, I will do this, right?
Yes.
And he did. He got me through it. I came back at the top of my game. I signed a contract to play in Turkey and one of the biggest clubs there, Galatasaray, if you've heard of it. And I was balling, and but I did not honor my promise to God. I did not turn my life over. I did not change my life at all, actually. And it actually got worse,
Yeah.
And from then on, I was in a game in Turkey. And I made a quick move, and bam, I tear my Achilles.
Oh.
And at that point, Achilles, that's a hard
Yes.
injury. And I had heard about it, and I knew exactly what it was as soon as it happened. And it was heartbreaking. So I was in the hospital in Turkey, and I started to question God. I started to say, like, God, how could you do this to me? How could I be here again?
Yeah.
And that it was in that hospital bed in Turkey where I had my first kind of personal, supernatural interaction with God, and he was just like, listen, basketball, like, I'm God. I don't owe you anything. And I was like, that's not fair. Like, basketball is what I do. And he said, you can have no other gods before me. And I was like,
Yeah.
sheesh. And it's interesting because I had never heard from God. It's not like I heard this like big voice that says, Chantel, you can have no other, like
Yeah.
that. It didn't go like that. But it was just this powerful but gentle thought that just appeared in my head. And I just, it was just like, I wouldn't say that. Like, I wouldn't answer myself like that.
It's the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
And there was nothing I could say in response to it. I couldn't argue with it. It's like when God says, you can have no other gods before me, like, what are you supposed to say to that? And then
Yeah.
I'm like, it's basketball, it's what I do. And he's like, I don't owe you anything. Okay, again, what am I supposed to say to that? And so then I said, I can't do this. And he said, yes, you can. And I said, no, I can't. I can't do this. And he said, trust me, and you will have everything you need. And in that moment, in a hospital bed in Turkey, it all made sense. I instantly recognized, oh my gosh, I am not in control.
Wow.
Because at that point, I had done everything that I knew to do to be successful and happy and whole and all of these things. And I was not those things anymore. I was successful still, but like my career was hanging on a thread and all of these things. And I was like, wow, I am not in control. And if I'm not in control, I need to follow the one who is. And in that moment, it was just like, I just saw it. I just it was like somebody had taken a blanket off my head, and I was like, oh my gosh. And so in that moment I said, okay, I'll do life your way. And peace just filled the room. And it was the most tangible peace I'd ever felt in my life.
Wow.
And so at that moment, you know, I didn't really know what doing life God's way looked like. I didn't go to church. I didn't even believe the Bible was true. But I said, okay, let me try this. I'm going to read the Bible because maybe God is somewhere in there. I don't believe it, but I'm going to read it.
Yeah.
And so I started reading it, and you know, I read the book and accidentally fell in love with the author.
Yeah.
And as I kept reading it, I just changed. It was like one thing after another. It was like, okay, first my closet didn't feel like me anymore. I would bring out something and I was like, oh, I could wear that before, but that just doesn't feel like me anymore. You know, getting drunk didn't feel like me. The impure relationships I was in didn't feel like me anymore. I was convicted in ways that I wasn't convicted before, just as I read the word. And I always say God grabbed my hand and walked me out of my previous lifestyle, step by step by step by step. And it was not smooth. It was not easy. I fell along the way many, many times. I messed up along the way many, many times, but he
Yeah.
walked me out.
Wow.
So yeah, it was amazing. And then I eventually met some women who offered to study the Bible with me. And it was really cool because I had never sat, had someone sit down and show me what it meant to follow God from the scriptures, what it looked like, what he required of me. I knew it instinctively because I was an athlete and I know that like nothing is free, even a scholarship. And so like when people say salvation is free, I'm like, it is free.
Yeah.
But God expects your life, you know? So like I instinctively knew that, but I had never sat had anyone sat sit down and show me from the scriptures. And so they sat down and they went through what it looks like to seek God and what it looks like to be a disciple and to follow and what it looks like to dedicate your life to God and what it looks like to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and what it looks like to make other disciples. And so from that point on, that was I got baptized September 17th, 2013.
That's my birthday, Chantel.
Really?
September
Oh
17th. My real birthday. Yeah.
my gosh. Yay. So my spiritual birthday is on your physical birthday.
I
That's
love
so
it.
great.
Yes.
So 2017, or I'm sorry, September 17th, 2013, I was baptized. And from then on, it has just been,
Wow.
you know, living life as a disciple and really just spreading the word and helping other women find this amazing life I found in Jesus.
Wow. So this relationship with Christ has you walking in a lot of different spaces right now, which I thought was really fascinating because I see author and you have your new book that's been out a couple years, God, What the Heck, which is maybe the best title I've ever heard for a book. You
Thank
have,
you.
yeah, it's amazing. You have podcast host, Bible study leader, speaker, basketball's in the picture. So as you're growing in your faith, how are you seeing God open up the doors that he opened up for you to walk in and wear all these different hats?
Yeah, man, it has been a crazy adventure when God says immeasurably more, like I could not have scripted
Right.
where my life has gone and what God ha what doors God has opened up. It's been a lot of fun. I think the way I see it, and I actually preached a lesson on this last night at church at Women's Midweek, but it's like the scripture in Matthew 5 where it talks about be the light. And it's like no one puts a light under a bowl, they put it on a stand. And I think that once we choose Jesus, once we choose to follow, and once we, because of our proximity to Jesus, who is the true light, once we get set on fire by that light, we become the light. And light is needed. in so many different spaces. We need light. You can't go to the bathroom without turning on the light, you know? You can't be in your room or in the living room or wherever without turning on the light. And so once we become the light because of our relationship with Jesus, then it opens the door for God to really put us where the light is needed. And so I have just kind of just been open, and I have a conviction on using my talents. I think as athletes, we learn very early in life that talent is currency, that talent can get us anything we want. And so when I became a disciple, I said, awesome. Well, talent can get me anything I want. That doesn't change, but what I want changes. Now I want to tell people about Jesus. Now I want to evangelize the world. Now I want to go and make disciples. So how can I use my talent that God has given me to do that? And so I think it's a combination of those two things. I'm choosing to use my talents for God, which is speaking and writing and whatever else.
Preaching,
And then because of that, it enables him to then put me where those talents are needed so that I can shine for him. And I'm just very humbled and grateful of the grace that he has given me in that way.
Well, one of the cool things too is, you know, and this is a sports and faith podcast, like basketball can be an amazing platform for you to shine that light to other people. Have you seen that? Have you seen some fruit from that over the past decade?
Yeah. So yes and no. I think part of it is my fault because after basketball, like I had a lot of injuries, me leaving that lifestyle, it kind of ruffled a little feathers. People didn't really agree with some of the lifestyle choices that I was choosing or that I was no longer choosing. And so I kind of felt like an outcast a bit in the community, and I definitely shied away from it. And so because of that, I don't think it opened as many doors for God to use me in that arena, because I was just not trying to go anywhere near it, to be completely honest. But I will say lately, as I have grown in my faith, I have seen the need, and I have kind of let a lot of that go and just chosen to live out loud and to reconnect with my basketball roots. And then God opened up a really amazing door just these last 3 months with this opportunity to be an MC for this 501c3 called the Hoop Bus. And that is, it's a big school bus that they put a basketball hoop on the front and a basketball hoop on the back, and they travel all around doing grand activations and PE takeovers for schools and community centers. And so I got a chance to kind of be inserted back into the basketball world and to spread light and love through basketball. But everyone knows, like you go to my Instagram, you know, I'm a woman of faith. You have a conversation with me, you know, I'm a woman of faith. And so it's provided a unique opportunity for me to kind of shine in that way in that sports industry. And I'm excited to see the other doors that God continues to open up, you know, in that industry now that I'm more open to him in that way.
Yeah, I think, and you know, there's a lot of people, I mean, this show wouldn't exist for the last 6 years if there wasn't a lot of people in the sports world whose faith is very strong to them. I think they're just looking for ways to shine that light, to express it. Obviously, nobody ever wants to force any faith on anybody, but man, what an opportunity when somebody, you know, comes and sees Chantel and says, hey, I like this woman. Let's be friends. Let's learn more about her. And boom, there's Jesus.
Yeah. And that's my goal. You know, I can't, no one could have forced me to accept this life with Jesus.
That's right.
You know, no one could have forced me to choose to follow him and to choose to live my life by the Bible. Like God did that. Now, other people helped me along the way. Other people showed me the scriptures and studied the Bible with me. But God was the one who grabbed my hand and orchestrated the journey. Right. Mm-hmm. Acts 17, 26 through 28. It talks about how he determines the times and places. He set the times and places so that we will seek him. And so God did all that. And so for me, I just want to be someone who God can put anywhere
Right.
and who people will see and be like, wow, just like you said, like, wow, she's nice, she's loving, she's fun to be around. I see joy. And then when they find out more about me, they'll see the reason for that, you know?
100%. I'm curious with your parents because they gave you this choice in high
Yeah.
school, which I think there's a lot of good to that too. I think, some parents can be, and I fought this. My daughter is 19 now. I've wrestled with, do we force her to go to church? Do we force her to go to youth group? And, thankfully, we've never had to force her. She's always wanted to come, especially as she turned into a teenager. She still wanted to come. And that was something that we told her, hey, make your own decision, on
Yeah.
that. But we want to lead the way in being the best example we can. For you kind of walk away for a long time from that, but now you're here in a much different stage of your life. What's this been like maybe 10 years ago when your parents see that, oh my gosh, Chantel's getting baptized? What's that been like for that relationship when they initially, posed that question to you when you were in high school?
Yeah, I think my parents were very happy that I chose a life of faith,
Yeah, of course.
they my dad, before he passed away, he said, church is the best thing that ever happened to you,
Wow.
and
Yeah.
it was like he saw the changes in my life. He saw how much happier I was. He saw the community that I have around me and how they support me and how I've been so much more fulfilled in the work that I'm doing and the life that I'm living. Like he saw the changes. So it's really cool to then just have that, just have him know that it was a great change and it was the difference that God has made in my life.
Yeah.
But I thank them. Like I'm grateful that they gave me that choice, even though I went the opposite direction. I think I was going to go the opposite direction anyway.
Right.
Just my personality. I'm a rebel at the core. I have to learn the hard way. If you give me a rule, I'm going to give you 10 ways to break it or 10 ways to do it differently. Like
Yeah.
that's just who I am. And so I think maybe they knew that. And what it has allowed me to do, yeah, I had a crazy path and I came to God a little later in life. I didn't become a true Christian until I was 32 years old. But I think it allows me to relate to people who have kind of gone off the path. And, I have a lot of life experience that I wouldn't have had if I would have stayed in the church that I can now relate to a lot of other people. So God can use whatever our testimony is, whether it's staying in church the whole time and coming to him early, or whether it's coming to him later on after experiencing a bunch of life, like God is going to use it to get to who he wants to get to.
Yeah, 100%. And I love your story, Chantel Anderson. She's joining us here on Sports Spectrum. So I got to ask you, can you look back now at your time at, say, Vanderbilt, where you were balling, as you said? Can you look back at that time with joy, knowing even though it was before Christ, if you will, and kind of some of the stuff that you expressed, but you played so well and you had such a great career there. Can you look back on that time with joy now that you've kind of been brought to where you are today?
Oh, absolutely. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, my college career was a blast.
Yeah.
Like, there were, I mean, and we look at it, that's the crazy thing about the sports world. It's so amazing and it's so entertaining and it's so glamorous and there's just so much. But then at the end of the day, you go home and it's all the lights are off and the glam is done and you have to deal with that person. And so when I look back on that time, I'm like, okay, there was a lot that I was dealing with in those other moments. But I look back at my time at Vanderbilt overall and I'm just like, it was amazing. It was a blast. And I got to attend a first class university. I got to get an education and get a degree that means something off the court as well as on the court, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the lessons that I learned from basketball, I apply to my walk with God every single day. I always say that athletes are already disciples. They just have to be made into disciples of Jesus.
Right. Yes.
Because that, I mean, that's true. And that's the case for any successful person. They're already a disciple of whatever they have chosen to do. They get the take up your cross daily and deny yourself and count the cost and like they get that. They get the dedication necessary. We get the dedication necessary.
Yes.
We have to choose to channel all of that towards Jesus. And so once I started reading the Bible, I was like, oh, I've been doing this my whole life. And I credit that a lot to Vanderbilt, to sports. I was like, I've been doing this my whole life. I just got to do it for God.
Yeah.
So.
Well, how about the fact that nobody's going to wear that number 21 anymore at Vanderbilt either? And there's a Hall of Fame that you belong to. That's pretty cool too.
Thank you. So funny basketball story. So I was actually the number 40 in high school because that was my dad's number. And so I wore the number 40 and then I signed at Vanderbilt, but then they retired the number 40 right after that. And so I was like, what? So I couldn't wear the number 40. So I was kind of mad about that. So I get to Vanderbilt as a freshman before I ever in a practice or in anything, and I'm sitting there with my coach in the gym, and I'm looking up at the jersey of Wendy Schultens, who was number 40, and she was at that time the all-time leading scorer in Vanderbilt history. And so I was looking up, and I was kind of like a petty moment. I was like, I'm gonna break her record
That's so funny.
because she stole my jersey, right?
Yes.
And Coach Foster, who was my head coach at the time, he said one of the best things that and I will never forget this. He said, "If you're willing to work for it, I'll help
Wow.
you." And yeah, it was a moment because at that time, no one else had scored over 2,000 points, and Wendy had 2,602. And so that was a big statement for a freshman who had never done anything. But he said, if you're willing to work for it, I'll help you. And for the rest of the time that he was my coach, we were united in that goal every single day. Now, again, there's ups and downs and the path is never, smooth,
Sure.
but it was I ended up graduating with 2,604 points, which is crazy. All the games, all the days, all the baskets, all the free throws, and I broke the record by 2 points.
Wow.
But it was just, yeah, it was a great kind of partnership, and I am so grateful for Coach Foster to this day.
He was discipling you, right, Chantel?
Yeah, no, he was. And again, I think back so many times on that. Like, he taught me so much about God
Yeah.
through our relationship. Oh my gosh, I have so many stories that I could tell just that I reference back to. Oh, this is what coach did in this situation. So I understand what God is doing in this situation because
Amazing.
God is like my coach. Okay, great.
Yes, that's awesome. I love that. I want to ask you about Confidently His. That's the name of your website and your podcast.
Yeah.
What does it mean to be confidently His?
Yeah, so confidently his means that your identity comes from your confidence, or I'm sorry, your confidently his means that your confidence comes from your identity in God
Yeah.
and not from anything else. And I started it because I had to learn that that was true. After I retired from basketball, I went through a really hard time, as so many of us athletes do, in just, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I was good at. I had no confidence. I had no identity because basketball had been my identity for so long. And I had to work really hard to find that. And so I intentionally built my confidence again in who I was. I worked really hard to build my confidence in who I was and not just what I did. And so I became more confident. But then after I became a Christian, I was like, oh, wow. Like, so there's a whole identity piece to this that is fundamental and foundational to my confidence. And I figured out so much of my confidence now does come from going back to who God says I am and going back to who God created me as. And even when I don't feel confident, none of us feel confident all the time. We're all insecure in some ways. And so when I feel insecure and I'm struggling with that, I go back to the Bible and I go back to what God says, and I choose again to put what God says over what I say, or what God says over what I feel, or what God says over what people say on the internet or whatever, you know. And that's where my confidence, that's how I get my confidence back on a day-to-day basis. And so I just confidently his means that journey, you know, taking that trip.
ConfidentlyHis.com is your website, and the podcast, the Confidently His podcast. And then you write a book with this amazing title. I referenced it earlier. God, what the heck, right? Which is, it feels like all of us have moments. Sometimes I feel like I'm going through that right now too. Like, God, what the heck, right? And the subtitle is 100 Devotionals for When Life Sucks. And I think you released it back in the COVID period of time of December 2020, but I have to imagine some of the stuff you were just referencing went into why you felt compelled and led to write this devotional.
Yes, absolutely. So, I actually started out 2020. You know, I think we all did 2020, the year of vision, right? It was going to be amazing. And in January, I took a staycation in Hawaii by myself and planned out the year and journaled and sat by the beach. And I was like, okay, we're kicking this year off, right? So that was January. February happens, and my dad unexpectedly goes into the hospital, and we don't know what is wrong, what is going on. And so there's that. And then March, you already know, COVID happened and the world shuts down. At that point, I was an entrepreneur. I had been working as a corporate consultant, traveling and speaking. So now that the world is shut down, like, how am I going to make money? How am I going to work, you know, like so many other people? So that was March. And then in April, my dad passed away. And I had been a daddy's girl since day one, you know? And at that point, I was writing a book on confidence and identity, because that's Confidently His, right? I was writing that book. And at that point, I was like, I can't write this book. I'm angry with God. I am looking around at everything that's happening in the world, and I'm like, God, what the heck? How do you shut down the world? How do you take my daddy? How do you ruin my life? Like, and for the first time since being a Christian, I had was asking God some very hard and real questions. And I was like, okay, so at this moment, I had a decision to make. I was either gonna leave or fight. And I chose to fight for my relationship with God with the scriptures. But part of me in that journey, in that grief journey, I said, listen, one thing I just kept repeating, don't waste the pain. Don't waste the pain. Don't waste the pain. And I said, if I have to feel this bad, then something good is going to come out of it. If I have to feel this bad, I'm going to help other people who are going through what I'm going through. And so that's where the book came from. And it's an autobiographical devotional. So there's 10 different chapters, 10 devotionals per chapter on some really real topics, like how do we know what God's plan is? How do we combat shame? How do we combat coping? How do we find hope again in a hopeless situation? Like, we've covered some very heavy topics. But each devotional starts with like a personal story from my life, so that you know that you're not going through it alone. And then I relate it to this, and then I describe the scripture and relate it back to the scripture, and then I give you a challenge for your own life. And so it was just my way of using what God was taking me through to then help other people get through whatever God is allowing them to go through, and not giving up our relationship with God, even when life is, even when it looks like we want to.
Yeah, that's really good. 'Cause aren't there moments where you're just like, you wish you could never have to write a book, called God, what the heck, right? You just wish, oh God, you're awesome and everything's great and sunshine and daisies and everything's perfect, right? And then you realize, and all you got to do is open up the scriptures, and the Lord is most present, at least from what I see, in the brokenness of so many people's lives, especially in the New Testament, when you're looking at the life of Paul and the life of, obviously the disciples and all the different things that they had to withstand and go through. That's kind of when he's at his best, which sucks because we have to go through the crap here on earth sometimes just to see God be at his best. And sometimes I just wish that wasn't the case, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, I think God is glorified in the beautiful moments of our life,
Of
and
course.
he's glorified in our hardest struggles. And I
Yes.
think we all go through seasons, and one thing I had to reconcile and really wrestle with was that God gets to choose how he is glorified in our life at any given time.
Yeah.
And it goes back to one of my earliest decisions with God, when I first started reading the Bible, when I was first being called by the scriptures and through my conscience to give up certain things, even certain things I really loved. The thing I decided was that God is in control and I am not. Like, I didn't create the universe.
Right.
I don't know how any of this works. You know, and because I didn't create the universe, I don't get to make the rules.
Right.
You
Yeah.
know, like it's
Yes.
really that simple. It's like this is his world. We're limited. As much as I want to make it about me, it's God's world. And so that conviction helps me a lot in realizing I don't like it all the time. Because I want to be in control. I want to decide things. I want to choose things, blah, 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 all the things. But at the end of the day, it's still true. I didn't create the universe. And so I don't get to make the rules. And if God says that I'm going to be glorified in your struggle during this season, then that's what's going to happen. And I have to be okay with that and ride it out with God, but also use it. Because I'll tell you what, Jason, the amount of messages that I get from people
Yeah.
saying, thank you for writing this book, saying, you met me in my struggle, saying, you helped me get through a hard time when I didn't know what else to do, saying, I hadn't read the Bible in a very long time, and the fact that your devotionals were short and personal helped me get back into reading the Bible, and now I read it every day.
Wow.
Like, I get those messages all the time, and I'm just like, and so it's like God promises, Romans 8:28, he promises to use all things for the good of those who love him.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean all things are good per
Correct.
se. Like
Absolutely.
there are some really bad things that happen, but God promises that the worst things, even those, he can use for good.
100%.
And so I'm
Yeah.
grateful.
Yeah. It's what goes back to
I'm
what we
grateful.
talked about at the beginning. You're shining your light, You're just shining your light, which is a good encouragement, I think, as we wind down here for all of us to just remember that if you're a follower of Jesus, all we're called to do, besides saying yes to him, is shining our light to others. Just shine it and watch what he'll do.
Yep.
Watch what he'll
And
do.
the closer we follow him, the brighter we shine.
Yes.
And so that's the goal. And we're all looking for light. The world is getting progressively darker
Yeah.
day by day by day by day. And it's going to get to the point where the people who are really taking a stand for God are going to shine so brightly that people will be able to see the difference. And it's already starting to happen.
Oh, yeah.
When you walk into a room, people will see the difference. When you open your mouth, people will hear the difference, and they'll be like, there's something different. And then it's our responsibility to make sure that they can obviously tell what that difference is when they go to our Instagram or when they have a conversation with us. You know, are we proudly wearing our wedding rings to Christ in everyday life, or are we kind of hiding it so where people are like, I knew there was something about you, but I couldn't tell what it was. You know, like,
Yeah.
so
Well, it's
that's
what you
always my
said
goal.
at the beginning on Instagram. Find something that changes your life and tell everyone about it. And
That part.
you're doing that, Chantel. Listen, this has been fantastic. Thank you for doing this. Thanks for coming on the show. We wish you nothing but the best, and we'll be, you know, supporting you and rooting you on, and hopefully we'll have another conversation at some point.
Jason, this was amazing. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful. So thank you.
And many thanks to Chantel Anderson for joining us on Sports Spectrum. She was a ton of fun, wasn't she? What a story. 32 years old is when she finally says, yes, I'm all in with Jesus. Follow her on Instagram. She's got a lot of encouraging messages, and she shares her faith quite openly and boldly on her Instagram page, Chantel Anderson. It's Chantelle. And listen, I mean, she's a stud of a basketball player when you're talking about three-time first team All-SEC, the SEC Player of the Year in 2002, second overall pick in the WNBA draft, the all-time leading scorer at Vanderbilt. Big-time stuff there, but now she's looking at this platform a lot differently than she did when she finished playing basketball. And just love hearing Chantel Anderson's heart for the Lord to shine that light wherever she goes. So we appreciate her joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. Make sure you get her book, God, What the Heck? 100 Devotionals for When Life Sucks. And we all go through those moments when life does suck. Check out her website, confidentlyhis.com. Confidentlyhis.com. Thanks to Chantel for being our guest today on Sports Spectrum. Thank you again for tuning in and for supporting the ministry of what we're doing here at Sports Spectrum, keeping Jesus in the sports conversation. You can find our website, sportspectrum.com, filled with wonderful stories, devotionals, podcasts, great free resources that you can share with others, a great tool to use to share the gospel with someone else. Hey, use Sports Spectrum. Use sports as a way to introduce people to Jesus. I'm all in on that. Hopefully you will be too. Again, the website, sportspectrum.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time with another episode of Sports Spectrum's podcast. I hope you all have a great rest of your day.